Yeah, I saw Ron at the waterfront when I was setting up the credit card machines, and I'm like, "Go home, we're doing an episode." He was like, "What?" It's like, "Yeah, man, you got to get home so you can watch it." And he's like, "Oh, man." So I did run into another guy in Elwood today, though, that told me how much he liked the fact that we do comic reviews, which is like super weird. You would think that, like, if you're gonna call yourself like a comic podcast or a podcast about comics, that you might want to,
Read them.
do something like, review comics.
Yeah. Or even just read like the stuff that's kind of relevant today would be not the worst thing ever.
See a difference in your
But,
pet from day
so
one with proven nutrition from
definitely
animal
a
born at
thing.
PetSmart.
So,
Since
good
around
Lord, your
time.
TV is loud.
You've got so much energy. And now at
Hey,
PetSmart,
Dad.
There you go.
Dad, thank you. Turn down. Thank you.
it's not as bad now, so you're good.
Okay. Yeah, he
So,
turned it down a couple notches.
so good.
Same.
So yeah, it's Friday. How about that, weirdos? We're fucking doing this on Friday. It's weird. Yeah. So
Off the
yesterday kind of
beaten
got
path.
away from all of us. It didn't quite kick the way we needed it to. Really sorry about that. But hey, you know what? We're both grown adults that have no real party life anymore. We're just
That's true.
we're
That's
fucking
true.
old. This is what we do on a Friday night at 8 o'clock. So,
Hey, I
although,
was playing World of Warcraft before we started this.
I mean, I used to be at Cranberry till late on Fridays, covering, while they played D&D, but now I don't have to do that. So,
Yeah.
anyway, so if anyone's looking for a part-time job, we are hiring one part-time, about 20 hours a week in Cranberry. If you're interested, please email cranberry@ndcomics.com. Please email the resume. Even if you don't have a resume, just say, "I don't have a resume, but I'd really like to work there. Can I get an interview?" And we will do what we can for you. So there's that. We announced today Robert Hack will be at the con. That fell into place very quickly. So we're gonna have the king, like Sabrina's awesome weird uncle. We'll call it that, because I was like, it can't be her dad, because he didn't
No.
create Sabrina, but he's
No.
definitely
He's the
the
creepy
weird
uncle.
uncle. He's the
Yeah.
creepy weird uncle.
He's the
If you
Uncle
like,
Fester.
yeah, there you go.
He's Uncle Fester.
But I don't know if I'd go that far, but I like Rob. He's a lot of fun. He's a great artist. He does this awesome chalk stuff. I remember the first time I ever met him, I was across from him at a con in Altoona. It was in a hotel, like, conference room, pretty much. Like, there were maybe 12 total vendors in that tiny room, and it like was an inner circle and then an outer circle, and that was it. And he was there, and he's drawing, and he's doing stuff, and then all of a sudden I just hear crunch, and then and I like look up, and he holds it up, and it's just awesome. Like, and I'm just like, man, I've never seen anybody work chalks like that. That's awesome. So that's my first time meeting Robert Hack story. And he had just signed on to do Sabrina, like Chilling Adventures of Sabrina at that time. And he's done a lot of work for Archie, he's done work for Titan, a lot of Doctor Who stuff. Oh, excuse me. See, I'm old on Friday. It sucks. So make sure you come out and check him out. He's also just a really fun guy to talk to. He always has a bucket or a basket of like quick sketches that he does every day. I don't know if you guys follow him on Instagram or Twitter. I'm sorry, X. You'll see, like, he'll post stuff every day, and it's just stuff that he does, like doodling, to just
Yeah.
keep practicing. And that's the kind of stuff that he just kind of like puts in this b basket, and you can just buy them for whatever. And it's like, it's super crazy awesome. He does a lot of cool stuff like that. I have a somewhere. Yeah, I have a Sabrina from the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina show that he drew. He drew Salem the cat on the Funko Pop box.
Nice.
So it's got a big black cat on. It's awesome. So, yeah. And if you've watched the TV show on Netflix, all the art during the theme, like the intro theme, that's all his art that they adapted and kind of animated. It's a lot of fun. Other than that, I don't really think there's a lot of nerd news besides the fact we're 2 weeks from the show. Very excited to get this going.
It was the end of X-Men 97, which...
Oh, yeah, but we're going to talk about that at the end. Like, we're gonna totally spoil the fuck out of this.
Oh, yeah.
So, by the way, you know, the show's been sold out for a long time, right? And I love when people are like, hey, I'd love to be a guest at your show. And I'm like, dude, the show's in 2 weeks. I'm sold out. Like what do you expect right now, right? But the guy who voiced Apocalypse in the last episode of the season emailed me today to see if we had space in the show. And I was like, unfortunately, man, I don't. I loved you in Lost, though. Because he played what is the name? Simi, I think. He was Mr. Echo's brother, who was he ended up being the dead priest in the plane, like the drug dealer brother that
I never watched it. I did not like that show, so I never watched it.
Really?
I don't like a lot of mainstream television, and it most of it bored me. If it wasn't something, you know, that made my mind think, which I was told, oh no, there's all these twists and turns. And I watched like maybe five episodes of it, and I guessed everything without spoilers or anything. And I'm like, this isn't hard to figure out.
So this is how Lost wound up in my life, right? So first off, I love the show. I do. I think it's great. I have a Mr. Echo sitting there looking at me in the corner. The action figure, the freaking McFarlane figure. Somewhere I think I have a Hatch playset too. Anyway, so I was living in an apartment, well, like a double wide trailer with my friend and his now wife, me and my wife, and at the time, girlfriend, fiance, maybe, and our other friend, right? And our other friend was like he had just, or Lost season two was just about to premiere. And he was like, are you guys going to watch this with me? And I'm like, no. Like, I was like, I don't really want to. I was like, but I hear good things. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm off. Let's watch it. So we watched the season two first episode. And I'm like, that was really good TV. Holy crap. And he goes, here's season one on DVD. And I said, okay, cool. So between the first episode of season two airing and the second episode of season two airing, I watched the entire first season. Like, I fell into it real hard. And then it was like one of those things, like my house was one of those places where every week we would sit there and watch it. It was, you know, it was a thing. But what really solidified my humor in it and my love for it was there was a website called the Tail Section, right? Because the plane breaks up and it's the nose section is the first season guys. And then season two is the Tail Section guys. That's where you meet like Anna Lucia and Mr. Echo and all these other people. And in there, they would do these shorts with action figures, right? And it was always like some random character ended up on the island. And one of them, my favorite one was Indiana Jones ends up on the island. And it's, so they do like this whole thing where it's like, oh, like this guy is paying for all the, like, for him to go and find the island because he's still searching for the island because he got kicked off of it, which is a storyline from like season five. So the crew's there and they're just like, they're like, oh man, like what's going on? And then they're like, oh no, and like the Jin's character looks like he's screaming because he was screaming. But he's screaming, he's like, oh no, Dr. Jones, look out, look out. And Indiana Jones is like, oh no, what's up, short round? And like a giant ball like rolls down and it just crushes everybody, and it eventually kills everyone but Hurley. And Hurley's the only one there left, and he's like, oh, I'm the only one left, this is so sad, I'm just gonna have to kill myself. So he drowns himself in a giant bucket of ranch dressing, like Dharma ranch dressing. It's hilarious. So like, if you there's one where like Voldemort ends up on the island, like there's some really funny things on there. I don't know if the tail section still exists. I haven't tried to go there in a long time, but it was a lot of fun to watch that kind of stuff. So
basically Robot Chickened it.
It wasn't even that professional. Like, wow. It was literally like,
wow, that's saying a lot considering,
right? How bad. It was like, hey, right? It was a little more like, do you remember the old I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC? Like, where they did the action figures and they would like talk about each other's movies, and then they eventually had a nightclub, like where Hulk was the bouncer. Do you remember that at all? Okay, you need to look up I'm a Marvel, I'm a DC. Okay. It was the play on the I'm a Mac and I'm a PC commercials. Remember those?
Yeah.
So, okay. All right, now that we've really diverged off of things, I guess we can talk about some comics. And then we'll talk about some. So I don't remember who's first. We're gonna find out in a second. Maybe. Orc. Yeah, hold on. I accidentally closed that window. Yeah.
Well, I'll say my honorable mention has to be the Masters of the Universe book, because it was really good, actually. So because they did the whole it was a whole origin, like before like Masters of the Universe existed, which is really good. And it was a lot about Hordak and the like how he started manipulating Keldor. So it was pretty good.
I'm a big fan of Hordak, so yeah. I'm excited to read that book.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Right.
Here we go. This is better.
Yeah. Madripoor Nights. You're first. Okay. This is Madripoor Nights number 4.
Hold on. Is that the Hulk? Is it Weapon H?
No, it's just a really big hand zombie that just has green skin. Okay. That's all. Like, they never go into any detail beyond that. Yeah. But the book starts out with Cap and Wolverine discussing like how Wolverine met Natasha and how their friendship and how he saved her from the hand, like the very first time they met. And he also tells Cap a little bit about Weapon X, because, you know, this all he met Natasha before the whole weapon, him getting kidnapped by Weapon X and everything. So, and Cap kind of was like, I had no idea. Excuse me. And he's like, the kind of things should have never happened. And as they're in this car driving towards Natasha is fighting the hand zombie that you see on the cover here. And she's she's fighting him, and every time she gets sliced with his sword, her skin turns purple, and apparently that's preparing her body to get taken over by the hand shadow assassin. Okay. Like the head shadow assassin, who's basically a big puddle of goo. And and she, of course, kicks his butt a couple times, but she doesn't realize that he just gets up and just continues fighting. Like, no matter how many times she tries to put him down, he just gets right back up, and they just continue fighting. And then Wolverine and Cap come crashing down, kill all the little hand ninjas that just disappear as soon as they get hurt, and they start fighting the giant here. Cap, there's a really cool page where Cap like just takes him like hand to hand and just literally beats the big guy there up with his bare hands, and it was really cool action sequence.
That's awesome.
And the goo, well, ninja master, whatever you want to call him, he grabs Natasha and he swallows her. He just opens his mouth and just grabs her and kind of does the whole "I'm pulling you in." Cap dives in, grabs her hand, and then Wolverine grabs Cap's hand. He digs his claw in, and they're pulling. And at the end, the goo like kind of explodes, and you think, "Oh, they're out. They're fine." No, they all end up getting possessed by this guy. Like, there's a piece of them in all of them. So, like, you see them, they're all glowing kind of purple and smoky. And so this was kind of a really big action sequence. Really good, I want to say good action period. But it's moving the story along. I like where this is going. This is kind of flown under the radar. But I'm really enjoying it. And the art's really good. So, again, this is Chris Claremont's writing. So it's good stuff. I'm going to give this a solid 2 scrambled eggs, 3 pieces of bacon, some hash browns, just really solid book. So if you're not reading some of these Wolverine minis, my suggestion is try to read some of these because they're pretty solid.
Okay. All right. My book, Rat City number 2. Weirdly, all my books this week are number 2s.
Weird. Yeah. Nice.
Super weird.
I was going to say all of mine would be 4 except 1. And I was like, damn, I could have had all 4s. So
we're just 2s and 4s this week. We're only even.
We're even.
Fine.
Yeah.
This is an evenly weird week. We're on Friday. All our books are even numbers. So this book picks literally right up where the last one left off. In Peter's apartment, he's staring at we'll call it like an energy ghost of Spawn, because this is in the future. Then you find out that the guys that at PTS were that gave them all their enhancements want people to come back because they all had some kind of weird thing go on where people saw Spawn, like everyone that got an enhancement saw Spawn, which was to me a little bit bizarre, but whatever.
I thought it was pretty cool though. This is very, very, taught. I could see this being done in the 90s. Like when the 2099 stuff was going on, this could have been Spawn 2099. And it probably
someone called it that today while I was in Elwood. They called it Spawn 2099. And I was like, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So his buddy Reese also goes in there. the PTS is doing free upgrades that are really them just trying to dissect and find out what's going on with these nanites. So they go to the thing. His buddy Reese goes in there. They take off his arms because he has prosthetic hands. And they check the nanites. They're like, the nanites are fine. I don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, when they figure out that they're going to rip him apart, he gets like this cool, like green spawn, like energy thing around his eyes. His eyes turn green and he basically turns into kind of a Violator. Like that was the vibe I was getting from like, oh, so you're going to be the new Violator.
I was getting Cygor vibes from him.
Or, yeah, maybe Cygor. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you Cygor. Either way, big, bulky, hulking, crazy, strong dude with no arms. So Peter eventually is like, where's my buddy? And he's trying to get into the room. And as he's doing this, he's getting that same kind of stuff. He watches Reese get completely annihilated by the security guys, and he loses his shit to the point where he becomes the new Spawn. Like the very last page is him becoming the new Spawn. This book moved well, was well paced. The dialogue was great. The art was phenomenal. I'm giving this book like a full tremendous 12. Like this book, I'm not a Spawn fan, and this is a great book. Like
this is probably out of all the new stuff that's come out, this may be the most intriguing out of all of them. You know.
Yeah, I heard Sam and Twitch is still not good. It's just slow from what I heard. And then what was it? There's another one, right?
Yeah, but it's not out yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So like I said, I enjoy it. I like Erica's writing a lot. I think she's capturing the character and moving the story along at a good pace.
Yeah.
And
the art feels very 90s Spawn.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at him like, wow, that they really captured that 90s Todd art style.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
All right. I love this cover, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it looks gorgeous.
Yes, this is the Weapon X-Men number 4. This is the conclusion of it. So this is the last issue of this. And I have to say, it ended really anticlimactic, but still good. So as with all the books, you're getting the origin of one of the Wolverines here, and this time it's Old Man Logan's, which most of us already know, you know, how he got tricked by Mysterio and killed all the X-Men, and he refused to pop his claws ever again, type deal. Now we left off the third book, them making a deal with Onslaught, and they come back into this other dimension, and Old Man Logan pretty much just turns around and betrays all of the other Wolverines. Like, he literally kicks all their asses, and it's not even close. Like, I figured maybe Weapon X Wolvie probably would have had the best shot. He just beats the crap out of all of them. The only one who actually kind of survives is obviously Zombie Wolverine. And, you know, they're all tied up. They all have the little gauntlets so they can't, you know, fight back, you know, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And Old Man gets Jean to come, Phoenix to come down, and he ends up betraying her to Onslaught. Onslaught gets the power of the Phoenix inside of him. And what ends up doing is the Phoenix does its thing where it reborns And when it reborns, it purifies everything. So what it ends up doing is it actually purified Onslaught. And what? Onslaught, yeah, he ends up like kind of going through a philosophical thing of like thinking about what he was doing. It was like, this is what he's like, I found myself now, and you know, I realized all the everything I did, and I'm going to, you know, go away. But he's like, before I go, he gives Jean a piece of the Phoenix back to her.
Right.
Old man Logan knew this was going to happen. He had a hunch because of, you know, he just had the feeling that this was going to happen. So Jean pretty much just asks all the other Wolverines, do you want to go back to where you came from? The whole nine yards. Of course, Weapon X goes back to the Age of Apocalypse era. Fatty Wolverine from Earth X gets put back, but he ends up getting back together with Jean in his universe, and they kind of make up, which is very nice because you feel really bad for Earth X Fatty Wolverine.
Right.
So he gets his happy ending. Everybody kind of gets their happy ending except Zombie Wolverine, who he's like, well, there's nothing left on my planet. Everybody is a zombie. There's nobody to feed on. Can you put me somewhere? Like, he's like, it doesn't have to be like intelligent population, but I'm hungry. So Jude's like, I have a place. And she snaps her fingers. He gets transported to a dimension where all of the characters are man things. And he's like, this is bullshit. I'm not a vegetarian. And it's hilarious. Poor Zombie Wolverine gets shafted in this series so bad. And then finally, it's just Old Man Logan and Jean. And she asks, would you like to go back? And he's like, there's nothing for me to go back to. He's like, but I'd like to see a happy ending before, you know, my time's up. And Jean's like, so would I. So you see the end. Basically, Jean and Old Man Logan kind of walking hand in hand at the end of the book. So it was kind of a very nice ending to the book. A little weird that the Phoenix, they used the Phoenix for this, like to kind of reset Onslaught from bad guy to kind of realizing like what he was. It was okay. You know, like I said, I really liked the series as a whole. It was fun. But I'm just going to give this plain eggs just because I feel like they could have done a little bit more with this. But plain eggs, give me one sausage link, because the fighting between the Wolverines was pretty.
Yeah.
And then just maybe coffee or something. You know, it wasn't like the most spectacular ending ever, but it was probably better than what most people thought it was going to be with this. Okay. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm more interested in the good Onslaught. It's weird. It's just a weird concept in my brain.
Yeah. And the design of him was pretty interesting too, because basically he almost kind of looked angelic.
Ooh.
So it was.
Well, he always did kind of look angelic.
Yeah. But with the white, you see him like the white really enhances it. So it really was pretty interesting. So.
That's cool. All right. My next book is Uncanny Valley number two.
I love the He-Man homage in the front cover. Right? There. That was awesome.
Right? Right? Like it's this book is just, this is the most ridiculous and yet fun book I've read in a really long time. So it starts out with the kid and his grandpa at a diner, and like he's like, I'm not really hungry, and the grandpa just orders for him anyway, and he's like, how did they not know that you're a cartoon? He's like, oh, it's kind of like the perception filter, right? Like the older you get, the less you believe and the less you can see stuff like that. You know, it's like the whole like, what is it, Peter Pan, where you don't believe in fairies anymore when you get old.
Yeah.
Type thing.
When you become an adult, you lose your childhood.
Right. So the kid and his grandpa are driving to still try to get away from everybody. Oliver and Pecos Pete are the guys. So his mom has one of the crows in a cat carrier and is trying to she's called 911, nothing happened. So she's trying to get more information from the bird, from the crow. The crow just said the first will not be denied. None will rest until they get what they need, our world. And she like throws the bird in the cage out the door of the car. Pecos and Oliver have a cool bonding moment where he's like, but I'm not like you. He's like, yeah, you are. Just try this. And he did like the blow you're on your thumb thing, and his ears pop out like a cartoon. And he's like, what the hell? He's like, I can hear the ocean. So he's like, okay, I guess that's fine. I kind of have powers. And then they wreck into an anvil falls on the front of the car, sends them both flying out the front window. Pete grabs Oliver's hand. He grabs he's got his other hand on like a little bit of a root. And then so instead of a coyote, they're dingoes. So there's a dingo shows up with like a stick of dynamite, and Oliver's like, is that dynamite? And he like lights it, and he's like, do you trust me? He's like, yeah, I guess. So they both jump off, and he goes, Oliver's like, we're gonna die. He's like, no. Just put your hands in your pocket, start whistling a tune, and just start walking. So he does this, and they start walking on air. And so they get him close enough to a side where he catches him and gets him back up. And he's like, Pecos pulls out a gun out of his pocket and he shoots him. He's like, eat lead, dingo. He's like, where did you get that gun from? He's like, oh, it was in my pants. Like, it was in my pocket. And so they're trying to get around these dingoes. And all of a sudden, Oliver looks back and Pete is now dressed like Bob Ross. And he's painting a tunnel on the side of a like a rock face. Like, very, very cartoony. And he's like, mm-hmm. Where did you get that paint stuff? He's like, it was in my pocket. So they end up walking into the tunnel, and the dingoes end up slamming onto the side of the rock like they would, right? Mm. And then at the end, there's a page just goes, my lord, another portal has been opened, and the person on the throne goes, do we know where it's going? And they said, yes, we have it. And like, excellent, let's go greet them on the other side, to be continued. I'm pretty sure that the evil one is whatever their version of Maleficent is. Because that's kind of how it looks. And I believe Maleficent was the first villain in Disney, right? Because wasn't Snow White the first big Disney movie? And she's the...
Maleficent is Sleeping Beauty.
Or she's in Sleeping Beauty, right. Well...
And Sleeping Beauty was after Snow White. Snow White had the Wicked Witch.
Right. Well, then I don't know. But it looks like Maleficent. But it's very good. This book is funny. It's smart. It's It's good for most ages, but if you're like 40 or older, you're going to get most of these jokes more than the other people will. So I just recommend checking it out. I'm going to give this. Oh, man. I'm going to give this a bowl that is big enough to fit the entire box of Cocoa Pebbles in it. With like probably what, like a half gallon of milk in it, so that you can sit and watch all your Saturday morning cartoons until you're done eating for four hours. Like, because that's how this is, and you want to get a sugar rush on it. So I loved it. It was great. Check it out.
Okay, here.
Oh, this is the one we had to look it up here. Four. Good job.
Yeah. So, well, before that, Maleficent was the year 1959. The Evil Queen from Snow White was 1937. I had to look that up while we're.
Well, then maybe it's the Evil Queen and not Maleficent. Mm-hmm. But.
But Ultimate X-Men number 3. I like the flow of the story here of you getting the intros of all the new X-Men. And of course, Peach's art speaks for itself, whether it is your taste or not. She just does her thing. Basically, we kind of get like a little bit of an origin of the Shadow King as you see him playing with two girls, doing like fortune telling stuff. And then the girls are kind of like, wow, that's creepy. And you just kind of see him, a younger version of him, just kind of sulking. Now they flash forward a little bit. You're getting the full origin of Me, how her powers came to be, where she came from. You're getting a lot of underlining family issues in this, because apparently Me's father is kind of a douche, cheats on her mom, is quite abusive. You see this throughout the book. One day after school, a scared cat with a bunch of talismans around its neck finds Me, and the owner is basically the Shadow King, just a little bit older. So the cat turns around, and the way he grabbed the cat made the cat flip out. So of course the cat turns around and bites Me. She comes home with the cat bite, and she's late. She's like, "Mom, I don't feel good. I'm going to go lay down." And she has the cat bite wrapped and treated and everything. But you start seeing the effects of the Shadow King with the black eye and the weird black ooze thing going on with it. And she gets up and she's kind of cranky. And finally, she can't take the abuse and the way her father is anymore. And of course, the dad hauls off and slaps her. And this causes her to just yell, and that's when her powers emerge. And as her powers emerge, her hair turns white.
Oh,
there is a little bit of... She was reading a pamphlet or a paper of some sort, and it had a picture of Storm on it. So yeah. She's giving a shout out to OG X-Men in this as well. And then they basically just kick her out because her dad just calls her, you know, "I don't need a punk like you in here. Get the F out of my house," you know. And then we go back to current event where it's Me and what's her name? The other one, Armor, and they're in school, and it's recess or gym class. Me gets hit in the head with a soccer ball. And we get introduced to a new mutant by the name of Nico Minoru. And she's like, oh, I see you guys are mutants too.
Nico Monroe, like from the new, from NYX, like the one who ends up being, oh, what the hell is her name? I'm going to look it up.
But they're like mutants too with question mark, and that's how this book ends. Like I said, I like the flow of the story. You're getting introduced to new characters in new, unique ways. You're slowly getting origins through, but very quickly. It's not, they didn't use like the whole book for everything, but you're getting a lot of information in a short period of time. But you're still getting like little question marks and little breadcrumbs for down the line. So I'm giving this a solid, well, since this is Japanese, I guess breakfast fish sticks, because that's what they eat in Japan.
There.
So, but I'm going to use the Japanese soda. I love that Japanese soda with the little glass ball that you pop down and you drink. So it's again, it's a very, if you're into Peach Momoko, you're really enjoying this. If you are not a fan of hers, you're not going to enjoy this. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Why can't I find her freaking mutant name? This is gonna bother me. Yeah, but she was in the Runaways. She wasn't
okay.
Wasn't in NYX.
So this might be a runaway joining the mutants, or this could be a new enemy.
I mean, she is. I don't technically know if she's a mutant, because she's part of the Pride from Runaways. Like, she's one of the cat people descendants. So,
well,
but she had the staff of one. Well, she won't. Like, she looks human, but so the Runaways is crazy because, like, the Pride are like these descendants of humans that came, that evolved from cats instead of from, you know, dolphins, apes, whatever, and apes, and then apes. So they just have like a weird connection backstory with some powers, but I don't technically think they're mutants. But they're the Runaways, and she has the Staff of One, where she can make a, she can conjure stuff, but it's only one, she can only cast the spell one time with the phrasing, so she has to keep changing the phrasing if she wants to do the same spell over and over and over. So it's very interesting, but I recommend checking out Runaways. It was good. Red Coat number 2. Ooh, in my,
I saw that machine. And I knew you were gonna do that.
Yeah, I forgot this came out, and I was like, oh fuck, I gotta get this. So Simon Pure is the guy, the immortal guy. And it starts out where he's like, him and a young Albert Einstein are just beating the crap out of people. And he's kind of telling a story of like how he was kind of like not a very good marksman, and he grew up to be a marksman. Like, he became a good marksman over 100 years. So these guys that are running after him have this weird axe, like hatchet axe, and they strike Simon with it in the, like, in the side, and the wound keeps reopening and not healing all the way. So they're just kind of like, I don't know what's going on, and they try to leave. The axe keeps bringing up new things, so they go to New York to try to talk to the only other immortal that he knows, who ends up being Benedict Arnold. But they he just calls him Benny, which is pretty funny. So Benedict Arnold, like, actually, you know, made money. Like, he invested a bunch of stuff, because we're now in, like, the 1800s. So he basically crashes his ball, steals a bunch of food, wants to talk to him about some things, and show him the axe, but he doesn't really want to see it. And then he realizes that it's the axe of lies, and he's like, oh yeah, you're totally gonna die. You have 3 days. So that's just kind of how it rolls, but most of it is like this weird interaction between young Einstein and Simon trying to get to New York. The Einstein character was kind of annoying, but he was supposed to be a little annoying, I think. But this book was very good. Wasn't as good as the first issue, but it was still very, very good. It's definitely got a good lead up to issue 3 coming. So I'm going to give this 2 warm breakfast strudels.
Ooh.
Like toaster strudels with the frosting and a cup of tea, Earl Grey hot. Just because. So, but I did enjoy it. I thought it was very good.
Nice.
All right. That's all of our books for this week. So now we can talk about all kinds of other stuff.
I was going to say, should we talk about some of these trolls we've been dealing with on
the Facebook
site? I just read like the one
I just commented on.
With Fetterman. Okay. To those who are, you know, if you see a troll on here, on there, guys, you know, try not to engage. We will do our due diligence, research them. I told John to print out their photos, and I will personally escort them out the door if they decide
but this
to
guy,
come to our
his,
show.
His photo is sloth behind a Fetterman stand.
Yeah, and then
and
I
he
clicked
only has
on
one post on his whole page. And I was
yeah,
like,
so he's
I was
just
like,
a
oh,
troll.
So you're just a troll hiding behind your keyboard. Good job.
Yeah. So,
but he was like, he was basically slamming the show, because he's like, so the 3 comic book people that still like comics are going to come to the show, and you don't have any celebrities. This is going to suck. Good luck with that, guys. And I was like, thanks, we'll take that. Like, we enjoy ourselves. We have a lot of people that come and enjoy themselves.
You should be like, there's way more people than you think there. Some people don't like right? celebrities, guys.
Also, like, I think people think that we have some kind of weird, like, beef with Steel City, and we don't. Like, we're friends with those guys. Like, yeah. Like they come to our show. We go to their show. It's everybody is cool. Like, everybody is fine.
I mean, do I personally want to pay the amount of money it takes to get in? No. Do I want to pay some of those celebrities the amount they're asking for? No, but I don't have to. You know?
I can't.
And that's my right.
I can't wait until Steel City, like, has to move downtown.
Yeah.
Because
and then
they're
people
too big.
Are gonna be
and then people are all going to be like, and then I'm going to be like, oh, why did you not come now? Like, come on. Like, people are, because, like, one guy was complaining about it just being downtown. And I was just like, yeah, but, like, no one's down there. Like, if you know how to use, like the any of the apps that help you find parking and find parking for reasonable prices, it's great.
No one wants to put the effort into it.
Right. But it's not like downtown is a grid. Like, there's no, oh, I missed my turn and then I can't just go another block and turn. Like, that's how it works. Like, it's a grid. Like, the part that sucks for some people having to come in. It's like if you're coming in from 376, you got to come up and then cross over two lanes of traffic.
Yes.
If you want to get off that exit. If not, yes. You just go down to the 10th Street bypass, get on that sucker. It takes you all the way down the river right to the convention center. You don't even have to go through downtown. You just take the 10th Street bypass. It's right there.
Yeah.
You come off Fort Duquesne, same thing, or Fort Duquesne.
Like I said, we checked out some of these trolls, and like the one dude is very, I'm looking at it's one of those, you see like the partial of the face like this, and I'm like, so you're too afraid to show your face, and your profile is Mr. Wonderful. I was like, okay, I know what kind of person you are.
Listen, I just think it's hilarious. I'm just like, why?
Why? And all of a sudden, too. Like,
but here's the thing. Like, and honestly, I don't care. You know why? Because another comment on there is more engagement. You're just helping the algorithm. You're not actually hurting it. You want to hurt the algorithm and you want the show to suck and that post to never get seen? Don't comment at all. That's how you beat the algorithm. Like, come on. Like, but whatever. You know what? The people that are shitting on it are the people I don't want to have there anyway. So I'd rather have
I'd rather have 50
people show up and all of them have a blast than have 2,000 people who don't want to be there. So whatever. Like, we're going to have fun. It's going to be good. People are going to be entertained. They're going to do this. You wouldn't have shows like celebrity shows without shows like this, because this is how they started. Yeah. Duh. Like,
and technically we are having celebrities there.
Our celebrities are comic creators.
Yeah.
They're celebrities. Just, in fact,
they're not most some of them, extra from a movie from 20 years ago.
In fact, most of them have more IMDb credits than a lot of the actors you see at some of the other shows. Yeah. Like, it's crazy, but whatever. I don't want to get too far into it, because I find trolls hilarious, because it's just like, wow, man, you really got me. Good job. You got me. Versus,
I just find it kind of weird though. Like, it's literally 3 weeks before our show, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 three trolls in the last couple of days. I'm like,
that's just how it works.
Okay.
People wait till the end. They want to get their thing in there, or somebody's talking to them about it, and they want to do it. I just find it funny that none of them actually use their own real accounts. And
no, the one dude did.
Oh, the one dude did. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But it's just like, come on.
And I kind of chuckled. I'm like, you look exactly like the guys that come into the shop too.
Yeah,
beard, sleeve tattoo, man, titties,
tribal. I mean,
come on, man.
You tribal know that somewhere. Yeah. I'm just like, hey, how about this? If it's not for you, how about you just don't go and you don't comment on it?
Don't comment. Like,
or tag somebody that you think might actually want to go.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Anyway. All right, let's talk about X-Men. Because now I just want to be done. Thanks, Justin. Fucked up my night. I think this first season was some of the best writing they've done for any of their TV shows, period. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the best. What are you doing, Marshall? Hey,
I saw him sneaking.
He's over there. He's sniffing one of my drumsticks. Hi, buddy. Yes, hi.
Dad's having a bad day.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I really liked how it ended. I thought it was. I thought they wrapped up the season well. It was very much so Fatal Attractions at the end, which was cool. It's no splitting onslaught. That threw me off a little bit. Right.
I was like, wow, okay.
I thought we were going to get it there for a second.
Yeah.
But then I was like, nope, never mind. I did like the fact that we basically are getting Age of Apocalypse. Like
going the origin
of full Apocalypse. Age of Apocalypse, not just a two-part episode.
Yeah.
And that's
so for sweet. Those looking for those spec books, go find that mini series there of the origin of Apocalypse there. Have fun. Yeah.
I also think it's cool that we're getting a Scarry Son.
Yeah.
Like that's cool. Like we're gonna get more Cable stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's actually what I really was excited the most about and was very
my question is, they showed everybody except Morph and Wolverine just disappear. There's no trace of them.
Well, I think they're gonna end up being Horsemen of Apocalypse. They're gonna be some of the Horsemen. Because I think that's how Wolverine's gonna get his adamantium back.
We did see the Apocalypse pick up the card, Gambit's card there. So it could be Gambit becoming a Horseman as well, which he has done in the comics. So that's cool. It should be interesting. Morph
obviously wasn't, but
but
Morph could be literally anyone as a he's going to be the protagonist for that chunk of story, which I guess we have to wait till next year to see it, but I think it wrapped up well. I thought it was good. Mm-hmm.
We got to see Bishop at the end.
More Bishop. I like Bishop. I thought it was very well done and very, very well the whole thing was handled well. The only thing I don't like that, and this is stupid, but I don't like that the whole season was one big arcing story. Like, I liked it. The thing I loved about the animated series was, like, you could watch a three-part series or three-part episode or a standalone, and it all made sense, and it was all kind of together. But this feels like you got to watch the whole season to get the whole story. And that's the only part that I'm like, meh. Like, I don't know if I like that. But
you know, it's only 10 episodes, so it's not like it's not like a 20 episode type, or 40 episodes back in the day when they used to make cartoons like 40 episodes, and that was season one. Mm-hmm. By the way, that's what original He-Man was 40 some odd episodes.
Oh, dude. The first season of Thundercats was 65 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. We were talking about that at the waterfront today before I left.
Yeah. So 10 episodes is,
that was good.
You can binge it in literally like an afternoon and you're fine.
Complete side note, the new Doctor Who stuff has kicked on to Disney, and holy shit, is it good. Like, it is very Davies. So if you liked the Eccleston era stuff and the Tennant stuff, this is full on exactly what you want out of it. Shurigatwa is very, he's like the lovable parts of Tennant with the angsty parts of Eric Chris Eccleston. Like, it's very interesting how that played out. I liked the new companion a lot, and the stories were good. It was very much so Doctor Who. I very much so enjoyed it, so make sure you guys check that out. So new episodes on Fridays.
Since my dad is staying with me, we decided to go to our go-to Star Trek The Next Generation last night. So we watched a couple episodes.
Season one is so weird.
We did not watch season one. This was past season one. I forget what season it is, but I know the episodes were the one where the girl finds out she's a Q.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the last one, and I think the other one was when they were having all sorts of issues going on in the ship, and they weren't trying to figure out how what was causing it. And the first episode we were watching was when Scotty was guest starring. When they dragged him out of the cube.
Yep.
Yeah. So
where ship got stuck on the cube and stuck in time.
Yes. Yeah.
I just rewatched an episode. So Discovery has 2 or 3 episodes left for the series. And this whole season is based on an episode of Next Gen called The Chase, where it's like the humans, the Cardassians, the Romulans, and the Klingons. I think that's it. All get together because they have to use their DNA sequences to unlock this message. And they go to this planet and they unlock the message and they find the progenitor leaves a holo message. And she's talking about how they took their DNA and they sprinkled it into the primordial oozes of all of their planets. So they're all really related. And that's why they're all humanoid. And it was just like, what? So it was really good. It's called The Chase. I think it's like season 5. It's a heavy Picard episode, which is also good. So, but cool. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up pretty well. I will be a special guest on Last Comic Shop tomorrow. We're doing theirs. I don't know if it's live or not, but we're doing the recording it tomorrow. Where I will be talking about the Crow movie and the Crow graphic novel. Which after I turn the recording and streaming of this off, Justin, I will tell you how I landed on those after the rewatch and reread real quick before we head out for the evening. But definitely check it out. Make sure you go to your local comic shop, buy some stuff. Doesn't have to be us, but it's nice if it is. And then also make sure you get your tickets for Three Rivers, man. It's going to be a good time. We have so many
despite
people.
Despite what the trolls said.
So many people coming. You know, it's great. You know, and the fact that you can walk up to these creators and just talk to them.
Yes.
And not have to pay $60 to get an autograph to do that is awesome. So come out, support. It's going to be a good time. You know, or if you're there and you don't like it, just go check out Arts Festival or Pride. Whatever. Yes. Or hang out even later.
It's a busy, busy weekend.
Buy a scalped Kenny Chesney ticket. It'll be fine. So
Yeah, no pirate game though. So
right.
Sad panda.
Right.
Although we almost had a no hitter today.
Almost. So almost. Close.
Well, that's what happens when you have a manager who's like, you've 6 innings. I'm gonna just rip you right out. I'm like, we need new management. That's new ownership, new something.
So don't forget to hit the like and the share on YouTube and follow us on socials. And we'll see you in the stores. We'll see you at the show. Have a great night, guys.
Yep. See ya.